Color Purple is the latest offering at the Milwaukee Repertory Theater. It's in performance right now, and it runs through November 2nd. Live musicians, 27 extremely talented actors, and it's based on Alice Walker's Pulitzer Prize-winning novel. One of the many messages of this production is it only takes a grain of love to make a mighty tree. Artistic director Mark Clements calls this a powerful story of redemption and says we need to hear these stories, especially in the challenging times in which we live. We're delighted to have three members of the cast with us this hour to talk about The Color Purple. I hope that some of you have had a chance to see it because I'm interested in your response to the production. Our three guests are Nathaniel Stampley, who plays Mister. He's a native of Milwaukee, graduated from UW-Madison, played the title role on the first national tour of the Gershwin's Porgy and Bess. Credits include, there are so many, I'm just abbreviating everybody's bios, if you don't mind, West End, The Lion King, Broadway, The Gershwin's, Porgy and Bess, The Color Purple, and The Lion King, Off-Broadway, Lost in the Stars, and Fiorello, many, many regional theater credits. And Nathaniel, thank you very much. And how nice to be playing in Milwaukee, too. Isn't that great?
It's always nice to be home.
Yeah, very wonderful performance, too. Yeah,
Thank you very much.
And your sister is in the cast as well. This is terrific. Malkia Stampley, sister of Nathaniel. She's a former Milwaukee rep intern, founding ensemble member of Milwaukee's Bronzeville Arts Ensemble. Favorite stage productions include A Midnight Cry and Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer from First Stage Theater, Burying the Bones in Tandem Theater, Good People, Forward Theater, I think that's the name of it, or it's either Good or God. I wrote these two different ways. Dream Girls, St. Louis Black Repertory Theater. Is it Good People? Was that the name?
It is Good People, which the rep will be doing.
Oh, really?
Coming up.
Oh,
yes.
Great. It was so nice to have you here.
Thank you.
And it must be fun to be in a show with your brother.
Oh, it is. It's been a very long time.
Has it?
It has. It has. We've done one production prior, so this is great to work with him again.
Yeah, wonderful. And also joining us is Carl Clemens Hopkins. He plays Preacher, Guard, and Buster. He returns to the rep after appearing in last season's terrific show, Ragtime. Also in Blues in the Night at the rep. Regional credits include Eclectic Society, world premiere, My Way at the Walnut Street Theater, Pericles, Georgia Shakespeare, Little Shop of Horrors, Bristol Riverside Theater. He's played all over. He's also doing The Rep in Depth, which is a discussion that begins 45 minutes prior to every performance. And considering the controversy surrounding this book and also some of the themes, Alice Walker, it's still a banned book in some areas. We'll have a great discussion about The Color Purple, I'm sure, and so I'm so glad you're here. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Great performance. You know, it's an interesting thing, the idea that you would make a musical out of this book, The Color Purple, and I'm wondering what all of you think about that and how you prepare yourself for a musical of the book. Do you read the book? Do you find aspects of it that are important to know about to musically translate it? But I guess let's start with why it was translated to be a musical. Do you know, Carl?
I do. So about, I guess, 15 or so years ago, a producer named Scott Sanders was approached Alice Walker with hopes to adapt the book into a musical. And it took some convincing because the idea of The Color Purple being a musical didn't really necessarily hit both her and other people in the most positive light. But one great thing about making this a musical is because the themes are so heavy and because the subject matter is so deep, the idea of music helping to transport an emotional journey and also fill the passage of time. And we go almost 40 years.
Right.
And one thing that helps take that journey and I mean, it's a long play, but it could be so much longer with 40-year journey. The musical aspect helps tell that story and helps connect people to the emotional truths of it, because that's what music does. That's what dance does. It helps a heightened state of emotional qualities. And this book makes amazing sense as a musical or as a piece of theater in general, just because of the stories that it's telling and how rich the stories are.
Would you have, as I was watching, I was thinking, am I seeing an opera here? What's the difference between a musical and an opera?
The only difference is that an opera is sung throughout, and a musical has both text and song.
See.
That being said, a lot of operatic stories are really big life and death stories, And The Color Purple is a very big story.
It sure
so
is.
It does have operatic qualities in its subject matter. And there are some moments where there's a term recitative that's used in opera, which basically people are saying dialogue in a sung form. And we definitely have a lot of that in The Color Purple.
Mm-hmm.
And it works because of the subject matter of the story. Mm-hmm.
I thought it did a really terrific job of bringing us, and I wonder how you do this as performance and performers and how you prepare for it, of taking us to 1911 was the year, wasn't it, in Georgia, and all that was going on in terms of how to make a living, in terms of discrimination, in terms of poverty, in terms of 50 years after the Civil War, a very specific point in time, and the author really knew how to bring that time period alive, I think.
Absolutely. I think when you have an incredible source, and that being the novel to base everything off of, you know, the film and now the play, it's important to really delve into the book. And there's so much there. I mean, Alice Walker, you know, God bless her. I mean, she even describes writing the book that she was just a vessel for these characters to come out and come forth onto the page. So when you can connect with the material on the page, and then, you know, many people have seen the film, but for me, I believe that our play is a lot closer to the book, and is somewhere in between the film and the book itself. And I think when you really are able to connect with the source material, then it can only heighten what you do on the stage, where then we could express ourselves in dance and in song and then also in the spoken word.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a wonderful amalgamation of the many art forms in theater.
Let's talk a little bit about your character. One of the central characters, Mister, he's one bad guy for a good portion of the play, but he makes us believe in redemption. And you said something interesting, that you had to play him sort of the edge of ultimate badness, because you had to be able to take the audience with you to what happens to him at the end, which is quite different than how we see him at the beginning.
Yes. If you're, you know, a character like Mister, you know, he's a universal bad guy. And we all know, you know, he, you know, abuses Celie. He's dealing with personal demons himself. And, you know, that happens in absolutely every community. So in that sense, he's a universal character that's a tortured soul. He has learned behavior from his father, and it's going to pass down to him, and he's trying to introduce these same ideas to his son, Harpo. And then when you, if you can connect on that level and then allow the audience to come with you and, you know, sort of hate you, right, you know, initially, then it'll, you know, it pays off at the end when he comes to truly realize the true worth and value of someone like Celie, and also the value of himself and the humanity that he hasn't expressed much earlier in his life.
Mm-hmm. Malkia, why do you think that this book, play, and musical remain controversial? Is it a depiction, the depiction of African-American men? Is it same-sex relationship that was shocking some years ago and still might be on stage? What is it?
You know, I think it's a little bit of all of that. I've heard from many or several African American men that they weren't interested in reading the book or seeing the movie, so they definitely weren't interested in the musical because surface value, it depicts the black man as the abuser, as irresponsible, as all of those bad things. So, which is why I love Mister's character, because if you stick with the story, you see that he changes, and it wasn't him going to jail. It wasn't these horrific things happening. He changed within himself, and so yes, that is part of it. That's why it's controversial. But then it is also the homosexuality piece of it as well. First, when you think of The Color Purple, you think church groups, the black church is still struggling with the issue of homosexuality. So when you have black churches and coming in droves to see this play, and they're expecting to see more of the movie than the musical, they may be in for a little bit of an awakening or a shock. So that's an issue as well.
Oh, I'll bet there have been some interesting discussions about this in churches.
I'm sure. But it's funny because, I mean, Nate and I, we grew up in the church. It's what we know.
I know you did. I know your dad.
Yes. Yeah.
It's what we know. But when church people come to see this play, and we've seen a lot of our church friends and family see this play, that's not what they talk about. They talk about the music, the love, the chemistry on stage. They talk about everything else. And so you can present those same things that are in our lives every day that we see. We may not want to talk about it, but when you surround it with humanity and you don't throw it in their faces, I think it's swallowed a lot easier.
Carl, do you think there's a stereotype of African-American males in this play? Oh, your pause makes me think maybe you think it is. Well, it's all right if you do.
Well, no. It's not that. It's, I feel like this play with any other really good story, you're going to see qualities that you recognize, and then you're going to be taken deeper. You're going to see a very angry, self-possessed man that you recognize, a.k.a. the stereotype. And then you're going to see a man who has a huge struggle with his father, who has no example of how to raise his son, who does not know how to treat women or anyone in his life. And you want to see how that is dealt with cosmically, cause and effect, etc. So you're going to see people, the first scene, you're going to see people in a church and they are singing their faces off and dancing and having a good old time, which you recognize.
Right.
And then you're going to see a community of people who are gossiping about each other. And you're going to see a young girl who is going through countless unfathomable atrocities. And you're going to see a pregnant teenage black female. And then you're going to see her home life. And then you're going to see her relationship with her sister and her relationship with every man in her life. So I feel like, again, with this story and other really well-written stories, there is something you're going to recognize, something that is stereotypical. And then if you pay attention, you're going to see something deeper.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What's also really nice about this is that the rep really has made a decision, and I think that you talked about in some newspaper piece, of going to a black church to do some early rehearsals of this show, and the response you get to move another audience into the Milwaukee rep regularly. So it's not, oh, they're doing a black play because, you know, once every 10 years we do a black play. But you just move as effortlessly as you can, and because it's the community, you're performing for a community, and we're all kinds of things in Milwaukee. It's just really nice to have that just be a matter of course now for the Milwaukee rep, to have the color purple and to make sure that you get a more diverse audience, which I really think is great.
Absolutely, and it's necessary for survival for regional theater in major cities where you have so many different cultures. We can't cater to the 6-year-old white family anymore. We have to embrace everyone else. There's a vibrant young professional community who can afford to subscribe, who can afford to pay for groups to come, and they may not look like the traditional theater goer. So I certainly applaud the rep for doing that, and I hope that it's paying off. I don't have the numbers yet from the marketing department, but I think it's paying off.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Something else to piggyback on that. It's survival for theater, but it's also integral to the survival of art. You know, I unfortunately have, in various theaters, there are a lot of theater goers who don't think they have anything to learn or be moved by a piece that isn't filled with people who look like them. But we've had, I mean, at the end of every show, it's kind of interesting. You just, every moment of silence, you just listen for the sniffles and just watch people's reaction.
Yes.
And people don't necessarily think, you know, I don't look like anyone on that stage, so maybe this play is not for me. This play is for everyone, and all good pieces of theater are for everyone. So along with Malkia, I'm hoping that that is paying off on the business end.
Yeah.
But I know it's paying off on the artistic
end. Well,
heck,
look at Shakespeare, right?
Exactly.
We're going to see Shakespeare. So he speaks to everybody.
Centuries and centuries later.
Absolutely. All right, let's just talk about the business here, because all of you are these triple threat people, and I can't understand.
Well, thank you very much.
Nate is a dancing.
But you are.
I'm dancing
sing.
So well right now on the radio.
You sing and you dance and you act, and it's just you're really at the tops of your crafts, and you have to have all of these talents. I'm just so dumbfounded. And it's 27 people who are doing all of this, too. It's so you have to train in all of those areas.
Well, I could say for me, you know, it starts in college or high school for a lot of us. So all those seeds are planted, whether it's ballet, jazz, vocal, opera, whatever it is. And then your career kind of takes you where it's going to take you. Life happens. And then you find that with certain shows, that seed will blossom again. I haven't danced in a while. But it's something about being in that rehearsal room with our choreographers, Amy and Atria, who were awesome. They were able to just bring those things out of me. So I think we all start with those seeds in us, and then you just never know where it'll pop up again.
Mm-hmm. And also the journey, you know, is a continuous one. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you are doing really well professionally, many of us, we're still taking voice lessons.
Are you?
We have vocal coaches.
Really?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Because, you know, what happens is, you know, we're working on this piece and we're performing it for 5 to 6 weeks. But in order for me to be ready for whatever my next show is going to be, I can't just be proficient at the role of Mister. I then also have to then turn around and play, you know, a Shakespearean character or do a straight play. You know, it you name it, we all can do it, but it's a matter of really keeping your chops ready. That way you're more marketable.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, it's a muscle, and you have to, and it's many muscles. For example, I haven't had to sing in this style this long in quite some time. And if I didn't approach it the right way, in a more trained way, my voice would be dead in a week. Yeah. Same with a lot of the movement. You know, I had to learn this one move that ended up being cut for time, but this one move I haven't done since I was, you know, 17 years old in dance class. I'm like, okay, you're going to do 3 barrel turns. I'm like, I haven't done a barrel turn since Bush was in office.
What do you mean a barrel turn?
What the heck is a barrel turn?
It's something that I do now.
Carl, can you show us?
I can show you right now.
I want to see a barrel turn.
We don't have nearly enough space.
Okay.
But it's interesting that, you know, like Maki was saying, you know, you have to call upon these things that you were trained to do or learned to do, and then you have to kind of keep that muscle sort of fresh, because you never know when you're going to need it and when you're going to use it next. And not that everyone has the same amount or time or type of training, but everyone has to, A, work at their skill, and then keep it sharp in some way or another.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then you've got to figure, and I just wonder how you do this. It's interesting. Let's start with both of you. You're from the same family, and here you have two people who have been able to make a very successful careers on the stage, which is pretty unusual for anybody to be able to do that. And now we've got two people in the same family doing that. But how did that happen? I want to hear from all of you. Is it just a matter of walking through the door at the right time and somebody liked the way you look or the way you did the barrel turn or, you know, What is it?
I think it is some of that.
Sometimes
it is just the way you look. You're just the right person for the job. Sometimes it's a numbers game. I tell people who are who want to be actors, you just have to keep working at it, meaning you have to keep auditioning, and sometimes you just have to wait. Fortunately for me, growing up in Milwaukee and going to Whitefish Bay, the Whitefish Bay School District, they had great resources, and they had great choreographers and directors, musicians coming in, and so it was just a natural transition into going into theater at Marquette, and then into Skylight and Milwaukee Rep. It was natural for me, and I know that doesn't happen, you know, for everyone, but I was blessed in that way. But now it still is a numbers game for me. You just stick with
it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. How about you, Nathaniel?
I think, I know growing up, you know, I've been singing in church my entire life. And I always say I've been trying to sing as well as my mom my entire life.
Aww.
I mean, she's just incredibly talented musician and singer. And I think really hearing her voice and then other incredible voices in the church, you know, you think, man, I can do that. And then you become more and more comfortable singing in front of congregations that then turn into theater-going audiences, mm-hmm. you know.
What did you study at Madison?
I was a vocal performance major.
You were?
So I have a bachelor's of music, uh-huh. Yes.
And Carl, how about you?
Okay. I guess it's a blend of both of those stories. I also grew up singing in the church. But
where are you from, Carl?
I'm from Snellville, Georgia. We have two
Walmarts.
You're from
Georgia. Okay.
Yep.
Two Walmarts.
Two.
You have what, did you say?
Two Walmarts.
You're serious. I haven't even heard of the town, but I've
there
heard of Walmart.
There you go.
Yeah. Okay.
But I grew up singing in the church and then later on dancing and then that going into acting. And what's interesting is the out-of-town tryout for The Color Purple was in Atlanta, and that was the first piece of theater I saw. So that's kind of... I didn't know, that kind of musical theater. I didn't know that musical theater existed. I didn't know it could be part of something that I saw Cats when I was 8 on video in a music class. I was like, oh, okay, no, not for me. I mean, no shade on Cats. It's just I didn't.
Right.
It wasn't for me. So, that this existed, but C, that this existed and it looked like, sounded like, and felt like things that I knew. So that was kind of my way in, and I ended up going to school in Philadelphia at the University of the Arts for musical theater, and I got there and didn't do a single musical. I was always in plays. And so my mentor says, oh, you majored in musical theater so you can learn how to act. I'm like, that's fine. And then like Marquette, you know, that school in Philadelphia, which is a very big theater town, I had a lot of resources and a lot of teachers who were connected to this, and the third. So that kind of naturally progressed. And then I moved to New York and didn't know a lot of people and started to meet more people and then started to do other shows and just kind of builds and builds. But I think, to go back to your original question, it really is about timing and placement, you know, and the faith of knowing that you're going to be where you need to be when you need to be there,
right,
and not a moment before.
Right.
And I
yeah.
think a lot of people get kind of sidetracked, especially in this industry, thinking, well, I should be here by now, mm-hmm. or I should this, I should that. And they kind of, you know, tell God their plan.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, well, it's a wonderful plan. It will be how it's supposed to be when it's supposed to be there. Mm-hmm. So all you can do is just make sure that you show up, show out when you need to, and stay on it, stay fresh, stay sharp. Like you were saying earlier with what we do, and then just trust that what will happen in its right time.
Hmm. Well, there's advice for every person who graduates from anything, really. You put write that down.
Yeah.
You can be a commencement speaker everywhere. We welcome phone calls if you want to join our conversation. I would hope that some of you have seen The Color Purple and can tell us what you thought of the production. I know many of you read the book, and I know many of you saw the movie, so we can talk about Alice Walker's work here, where the controversies are, what we go away with, the power of redemption, how you break into theater, all that's open for discussion. So let me give you our phone number. It's 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. Email is talk@wpr.org. Facebook page, The Kathleen Dunn Show. And we're also on Twitter, and that's at K Dunn Show. You are listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. All right, let's go to phone calls. Our lines are filled. Great. 800-486-8655 is the number, and Lucia is our first caller. Hi, Lucia.
Kathleen, this is Lucia, and I'm absolutely delighted that you have the actors and actress on from Color Purple.
Thank you so much.
We are members of the Rep, and we were just ecstatic about their performance. And we totally support Clemens' decision to make sure that the theater that we have is representative of the community from in which we live. So we just would encourage everybody to go and see The Color Purple. It is just outstanding.
Thank you, Lucia.
Thank you, Lucia.
Thank you.
It's always good to hear from people in the audience. In the audience, the night I went, I'll bet you're getting this every night, everybody stood and applauded at the end.
Oh, that's,
everybody
it's
in the audience.
It's
it must be. It yes. must be. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it must be. Thank you, Lucia, very much for your call. Pat in Milwaukee. Hi.
Hi. I went to the show on this Saturday, and I went a little skeptical. I had read the review, and they made it sound like, you know, there's too much in the show, or I can't remember exactly. And then I found out it was a musical, and I thought, oh, you know, I went a little skeptical. But as soon as they started, I just was blown away. It was phenomenal. The singing, the dancing, the redemption part was like, I ended up sobbing. I was crying at the show, and it just really moved me. And their passion and their talent was phenomenal. And I'm so thrilled they put it on, and that it was that we're representing more of our community. I'm all about it. And we had a standing ovation, but there should have been another one. So I'm just hats off to your cast. The crew, everything. Honestly, it was phenomenal.
Thanks so much, Pat.
Thank you, Pat, for the call. And we need to give congratulations to Celie in this performance as well, because a lot of the book, play, movie surrounds her. For people who don't know The Color Purple, why don't you tell her story? Because it's so central, whoever wants to tell this story. Carl, you want to? It's so central to the play.
Well, without giving anything away for those who have yet to see it or are already on their way, Celie is the protagonist of the story, and it's played wonderfully by Zanya Love. That's Zanya Love.
That's a great name, isn't it? Zanya Love.
Right. But basically, she's a young woman in rural Georgia, a little after the turn of the 20th century, who, long story short, goes through a series of physical, emotional, sexual, mental abuse from various abusers. And basically, her journey is finding herself, but also finding God in a deeper sense than just, quote, gloomy old man like the pictures you've seen of him. Finding God in everything and everyone, and finding out and affirming that she is beautiful. Because a lot of times, victims of that type of abuse, they don't end up with a good level of self-esteem or self-worth. But finding that she's not only worthy, beautiful, but she can share that worth and that beauty in with other people, and also she ends up even sharing that beauty with people who did not treat her well. So it, not only did she become healed, but she became a catalyst to other people's healing.
Right. Let's talk a little bit about Africa and missionaries, because her sister becomes a missionary. She doesn't know if she's dead or alive for years. I think it was you, Nathaniel, who talked about the genius way the story is told at the Rep of her sister in Africa. It really was a very, very good use of the stage and the shadows. I really like that a lot. What is the missionary story, and what's the missionary, African-American missionary story, son of a preacher here, I ask you?
Well, missionaries are, you know, they're compelled to share the gospel, not just in their immediate areas and communities where they come from, but to spread the gospel all over the world. And in this particular story, Alice Walker places these missionaries in Africa, and they come into a, I mean, this is a fictional version of events, but, you know, the Olinka people were fictional characters. Where she, Nettie is Celie's sister. She goes to Africa with another couple. We don't meet the other characters in the play, but in the novel, is a lot more description is there. And while she's there, she's corresponding with her sister, Celie, and she isn't quite, she's telling her that the British are there and they are invading this this particular area. And what is brilliant, though, with what Alice Walker did in the book, and we show it in the play as well, is that it ties in with the struggle of the injustices and abuse of different cultures and people. So you have the colonialists were coming in and sort of taking the rubber and taking all the land that these indigenous people were on, juxtaposed against Sophia getting beat by guards and by the mayor's men here in rural Georgia. And so, you know, there's very little justice that is there. On so you could be in rural Georgia, you could be in West Africa, and there is a sense that, you know, why is this happening to us, and that eventually things will get better. And so Alice Walker sets it in a way where we see some of the struggles dealing with anti-colonialism and also the struggles of black people here in the U.S. And then the connection that we still have, even in 2014, of injustices that are still perpetrated, where you have corporations still, you know, marauding, and you know, injustices that have happened even here on the streets of Milwaukee.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to Keith is next in Green Bay. Hi, Keith.
Good afternoon.
Hi.
I'm so happy to be on that you're on this show. Although I live in Green Bay, I grew up in Milwaukee, and I've been a season ticket holder for the Milwaukee Rep for 38 years.
Oh, great. Wow.
People used to tease me when I moved up here. Oh, you're going all the way to Milwaukee to see a play. All the way to Milwaukee to see the Packers. explaining that difference, you go sit in an open-air stadium and pay a lot of money for greasy hot dogs and beer, and I go sit in the Milwaukee Rep. Wonderful theater, and then go out with my friends to find restaurants. They kind of got that after a while, but I brought a friend who had never been to the Milwaukee Rep, but every year she goes to New York to see the shows, and she saw The Color Purple on Broadway and was first of all blown away by your production. She thought it was just wonderful theater. As good and better than what she had seen in New York. And she had no idea that we had such an amazing resource in the Milwaukee Rep here locally. And I consider it local, even though I live in Green Bay. Mm-hmm. But it is such a wonderful resource for our community. And I'm so glad the Milwaukee Rep is doing musicals after such a long hiatus of not doing any. And this was just a wonderful production. She especially enjoyed Mister's portrayal.
Oh, well, thank you.
Thank you, Keith.
Thank you so much for making the journey down. And it's true, for people who love theater, they'll come all over the state to come to the Rep, right?
Absolutely. And I will say that, you know, the Milwaukee Repertory Theater has an incredible reputation, mm-hmm. not just in the Midwest. But there are actors that have graced the stages at Milwaukee Rep that always talk about how wonderful they were treated here and how they were embraced by the communities. And I think, you know, it truly is a gem for not just Wisconsin and the Midwest, but truly for the country.
Mm-hmm. I agree. How true. And then all the added things that take place. So there are groups singing in churches in the area. There's mm-hmm. what you do, which is so wonderful, 45 minutes before a show to talk about what the show is, which is a great thing to do. And then all the issues, domestic violence and race issues that are a part of this play, become panel discussions, too, which is community outreach yeah. that's so important, bringing it beyond the play, right?
Yeah, they have themed panel discussions every Sunday between the two, the matinee and the evening show. And on Fridays after the evening show, there is a talk back. So, it's a total immersion into not just the piece, but the world around it and the issues brought up by it.
Yeah.
And the panel discussions and the talkbacks are open to the public.
Mm-hmm. Great. What do you think about the Rep doing musicals, Mokia?
Oh, I love that they do musicals.
You do.
My husband and I, we were in New York when Mark took over for once Joe left.
G.K. Johnson.
That's
cheap. Yes, my husband's an actor as well.
Really?
And he is. And when I heard that Mark took over and he was doing cabaret, if I could have flown home to see it, I wasn't able to see it, but I was so thrilled. And my immediate response was, it's about darn time. It's about time. The city is hungry for it. And there's not enough musicals out there. So I was so thrilled, and I'm happy for them. And I did just want to say what Keith was saying about Milwaukee Theater. I do think that Milwaukee is a gem. It's a hidden treasure that that many people still need to realize. So I hope that his friend will come to Milwaukee for a weekend to see not just Milwaukee Rep, but shows at Next Act, Milwaukee Chamber, Renaissance Theater Works,
Skylight,
First Stage, Skylight.
Right.
I can go on and on. Pink Banana. There's so many great things happening in this city, and Milwaukee Rep, you know, they set a high standard with particular pieces of art, and so I love what they do, and the more people they bring to Milwaukee, the more the other theaters then benefit as well.
Yeah. Absolutely. Thanks very much, Keith, for the call. Chris is next in Shorewood. Hi, Chris.
Hello. I am just so thrilled that you have these two people here whose mom was a woman I taught with, and she has done so much for so many young people. No wonder she inspired her own kids. But she told me that her son was in The Lion King, and 2 years ago, I found a marvelous Lion King ornament, an antique. I bought it, I boxed it, but then I was put in a different school and retired, and she was too. And I still have this Lion King for you, young man, and I would love to get it to you because your mom was a great teacher and a great friend, and she was a very, very proud of you kids, and she herself has done so much. And in that sense, I'm kind of an authority because I was part of Robert Gard's first idea of theater in Lake Shelton in Orchard Hill Players, the first community theater in the state. And now Milwaukee is absolutely so full of theater, but you have to get rid of some of those fellows who think the only way they can do a critique for the paper is to be critical. I was curious when this guy wrote, they put together the pieces. You put together the pieces beautifully. And tell your mom she's got to get in contact with Miss Chris so I can get this Lion King head to you. And good luck. And Kathleen, thank you for getting all of the important issues out in front of the public, from politics, from the government. You're amazing.
Thank you, Chris.
You're absolutely amazing. But don't let it go to your head, as my mom always says.
It's too late for that. That would have happened a long time ago. We have to get the ornament to you after this call.
Yes.
Right. I mean, that's
tell
a great, great
call
story.
Miss Chris. Right.
Call Miss Chris. Your mom needs to call Miss Chris so you can get that ornament. Yeah.
That's amazing.
How nice. How nice. And it must be for both of you to be performing in Milwaukee where, you know, your folks can see it and people you grew up with. And I'm wondering if that puts extra pressure on you or you're just delighted to be able to come back and perform for those who raised you.
I think every single show there's been at least two, three people that we know, whether from school, from church, from work, or just from the community. So that's been really exciting. And that's been the thrill of moving back to Milwaukee for me, versus performing other places where I didn't know anyone. So it feels like home now. But it does put a little bit of pressure on you, because then they see everything. So they can tell you. My mother-in-law brought a group of her friends, and one of them said to me, "Oh, you were great, but you know, you did better in that last play." I've heard that before. So, you know, they tell you the truth.
Yeah. Right.
Well, it's always good to be home, because, you know, not everyone gets to see me perform in New York or, you know, or across the country. But I will say, you know, to Malkia's point, you know, many people and many of these audience goers, they've seen me do, you know, really well. They've seen me crash and burn on stage. You know, they've seen the highs and the lows and the sort of growing pains of becoming an artist. Mm-hmm. And so I wouldn't say that it's pressure. It's just a wonderful place to be, and kind of like, well, you may not have seen me in like 10 years, but now this is my evolution as an artist.
Yes, right.
And there are many mentors and teachers that I've, you know, been having lunch and breakfast and coffee with since I've been home, to really embrace them and say thank you so much for taking such an interest in me at a young age.
Good. That's great, because people need to hear that, who helped you along the way.
Absolutely.
Carl, and the other thing I wonder about, you're talking about keeping yourself in training for the next thing that you do. Mm-hmm. How do you live like that? I mean, do you know what December is going to be like for you?
This year I do.
You do? Well, that's good.
I have been very blessed, and like, there's some things lined up. That being said, that is not the norm.
It's not.
At least hasn't been the norm for me necessarily. I mean, it's like with any career, there's ups and there's downs. Even if you don't necessarily know what's coming, you know what will be expected of you. In that sense of... example, if you have on your resume that you can type 60 words a minute, you should be able to do that at any given point.
Mm-hmm.
If you have, like, a lot of people's resumes have what's called special skills, things that you can do outside of just acting or singing that could help you in a show. So you need to know how to do those things. If your resume says you're trained in vocal arts, you're trained in dance, you're trained in, you know, you need to be able to call upon those things if an audition arises.
Mm-hmm.
So in that sense, you know, I had a teacher who said, if you stay ready, you'll never have to get ready. So in that sense, you need to stay ready, which means maybe you can't smoke 5 packs a week because you're a soprano. You can't.
You better not smoke any.
You know, or at all, because it's not good for you. Or maybe you can't, you know, just do whatever, because you need to have, this is your instrument, your body, your voice, your intuitions. This is your instrument. So you need to make sure your instrument is always tuned, in case you need it.
Mm-hmm.
So in that sense, you'll always be ready for the Decembers of life, whether you know what it's going to be or not.
Mm-hmm. And what about the auditions? Have you all reached a stage where you're well enough known that people will call you for a role, or do you find yourself with, you know, 20 other people or even more who are auditioning for a role, which must be incredibly nerve-wracking?
I think it's a little bit of both.
Is
sometimes.
It still?
It depends. You may be called upon because the director or the theater knows you well enough.
Mm-hmm.
And other times they know you well enough, but they still just want to go through the protocol of seeing you. And then sometimes they don't know you, and so you have to introduce yourself. But that, it's a part of the business. Auditioning is in itself, I think, a career of its own, because
are great performers and just cannot audition to save their lives.
Right, yeah. I'm sure that's
the pressure
true.
Of it. I mean, one, you don't have the costumes, you don't have the lights, you don't have the rehearsal, you don't have all these missing elements that you get right away, and then it's you standing in front of, you know, 4 or 5 people at a table, whether they're nice or not. You know, it's just totally different than what you actually do.
Come on.
Yeah.
So we got to change that.
All right. right, let's go to Joan in Milwaukee. Hi, Joan.
Hi.
Hi.
I have a kind of a personal story. I've only lived in Milwaukee since 1950. I'm an import from Illinois. But I always
That's a pretty long time, Joan.
I thought the size of the city would lend itself to growth in all ways.
Uh-huh.
And I think the public education system around Milwaukee gave us a lot of the art, a lot of the music, and a lot of the theater that we are enjoying now. My husband and I rented to a lady who wouldn't go see The Color Purple, the movie, unless we went with her, because she must have read the book and knew it would be traumatic for her to go. So I treasure that fact, and I think I will be going to see the musical, even though I have great memories of going to the movie.
Mm.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Mm-hmm. Well, put all of those in their place then, what they all can do best and where they shine, the book, the movie, the musical. What's happening with The Color Purple on stage sung that you didn't get somewhere else? And what do you get from the book that maybe not get from the musical?
Well, I know for sure, you know, anytime you can have a character express themselves through song, it's just a different take on just, you know, sort of reading the words or watching a film, because you have not only just a beautiful melody, but you also have the text. And then you have, you know, someone like Zanya or many of the other incredible castmates that are truly able to express themselves artistically through the acting, that it is the perfect combination of expressing who these characters are. So you don't have just a monologue or in the format of the novel where they're letters, they're addressed to God, Dear God, or Dear Nettie. You're getting inner thoughts expressed in a very different way, you know, vocally. And then sometimes there aren't any vocals, but there's just the sheer will and determination or drama that is expressed on stage that you don't get necessarily in the novel, you know, if you're just reading it at home.
Mm-hmm.
And the one thing I will say that, you know, I always put theater first and foremost is that of many of the arts, with theater, there's nothing more human than telling stories. And so, you know, everything is based off of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, film is based off of that. Radio is based off of that. Even the written word. So before we could even write, we were sharing and telling stories like, hey, look at this beautiful sun, the moon. And so out of that, out of storytelling, then we get everything else.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a way to come back and express our true humanity when you go to the theater every single night.
Mm.
And that trumps anything on a film, because even with film, you're seeing the best takes. You're seeing no mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
But in theater, you really don't know what's going to happen. And it is a living, breathing organism where the audience is there. But in order for this scene to truly work, the audience has to truly pay attention and maybe not cough or take out a cough drop or something like that. And then, you know, and then we all are breathing the same air in the same space. That's very different than watching a very flat screen or turning a page of a very good book.
Mm-hmm. And in this beautiful kind of intimate space,
too. Absolutely.
Which is really, really nice. Same question to you, Carl. We only have about... Oh, no, we have a minute. What the heck?
Well. Dissertation. Kind of just going back what Nate was saying, one great thing about theater is that it, unlike any other medium, it commands presence. You have to be present, I have to be present, and we can only be in the moment that we have.
Hmm.
A film, you can pause, you can look away, you can have some popcorn. A film, a book, you can dog your page, go do something, come back. Theater, you have to be present in.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes mistakes will happen, sometimes things will go differently from night to night, from show to show, because it is alive. And a great thing about the film, The Color Purple, well, a great thing about the book, The Color Purple, is it allowed you to imagine this circumstance and world that you didn't know. The film put some referenceable images to whatever you imagine. But with the play, you are in it. You're watching someone do that right now. So I feel like the demand of presence is what makes it so unique and beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Well, you left 30 seconds for Monkey.
Sure. Well, I'll just end with the music of the music that's written for this story.
Beautiful
it's
music.
Beautiful.
Yes, it is. Yes,
the
it is.
Lyrics are just breathtaking. And Dan Kazemi, our music director, he's assembled a great band. So that'll take you through as well. Mm-hmm. I love listening to the soundtrack. It's just beautiful.
Yeah, it is. Thank you all so much. I really enjoyed having you here. And I'm glad we got, it wasn't planned in any way. People love the show. You can hear it. Calling all the way from Green Bay.
Yay.
Thank you so much. Yeah, it's a good thing. Thanks so much for being with us. Color Purple, the latest offering at the Milwaukee Repertory Theater. It runs now through November 2nd. Our thanks to Nathaniel Stampley, who plays Mr. Malkia Stampley, who is Nathaniel's sister, former Milwaukee rep intern, and she plays in the ensemble. And you also play
Daisy.
That's right, Daisy. Carl Clements Hopkins plays Preacher, Guard, Buster, and he does all of the sessions before, so you get a sense of the history of the play and the movie and the book, and that's a really nice thing. What are they called?
Rep in Depth.
Oh, great. I didn't know that. Rep in Depth. All right. Thanks very much to KP Whaley and Scott Myers for producing the show. Thanks for listening, everybody. Great conversations ahead, and we'll be with you again tomorrow at 1 o'clock.